Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation Committee for this March 25th. We have a quorum. And the first item of business will be the minutes of March 21st, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate all the bipartisan work that was done that particular day. And so, and they all look like they were correct. So I will move the March 21st amendments.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So, members, we're going to skip the first bill because our author is not. We're going to have the first. Our author is here for the first bill. It's the tab key bill that we're waiting on. So, Representative Cagle, would you like to move House File 4468, and I believe you have an amendment as well.
Sure. I will move House File 4468 to be, what's the motion? Laid over? To be laid over?
Before the committee, and the action will be to lay over.
Okay. So I will move House File 4468 to be laid over. What this bill does, the amendment. So the A1 amendment just kind of gets the language in the way I'd like to see it and kind of some agreed upon language as well.
Okay.
And it just deletes the user impacts piece and inserts operation and maintenance online 1.12 and then just deletes user impacts on 17.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. All right, so now we have House File 4468 as amended before us. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this bill does is gives guidance to MnDOT on how to do pavement selection. A lot of the work that I've been doing the past few years is really kind of looking towards the future and making sure that when we fix things, we fix it well. And so this is just making sure that we're using the right materials, doing kind of some sort of pavement guidelines and then or pavement selection guidelines and looking at the long-term use of them and effects.
Okay. Questions? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is MnDOT going to be testifying?
Yes, they will.
Then I can wait till the end.
Okay. Chair Cagle, would you like to call MnDOT up?
Sure. Not really, but
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Michael Baer with MnDOT. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for our Engineering Service Division. First, a little background on our recent pavement management efforts. This isn't the first time we've heard requests for this type of analysis, and past discussions with the paving industry indicate they're also interested in maximizing the performance of our pavement investment funds. MnDOT is continuing the development of our pavement investment guide, which we have officially titled the Pavement Investment Evaluator. That software is being finalized by an external consultant right now, and it's expected to be rolled out to our district materials engineers later this year. The software pulls data from several databases, and right now that is one of the challenges we are currently working through. The pavement investment evaluator is intended to provide a better what-if pavement investment analysis tool for our districts to compare and optimize different pavement designs and approaches. It will provide an analysis of long-term, medium-term, short-term fixed alternatives, the initial capital costs of those various alternatives, and life cycle cost analysis. It will allow the districts to optimize the life cycle performance of various pavement approaches given the funding available. Long-term pavement fixes are often our preferred approach to maximize investment return and minimize traffic impacts during subsequent construction projects. However, the high initial capital costs of those projects require that we have a balanced approach that maximizes our pavement performance across our roadway system with the limited funding. We do appreciate the additional funding provided by the legislature last year that will allow us to build some additional long-term pavement fixes. 2 weeks ago, MnDOT met with paving industry representatives, the Associated General Contractors, or AGC, the Aggregate and Ready Mix Association, or ARM, the Concrete Pavers Association of Minnesota, or CPAM, and the Minnesota Asphalt Pavers Association, or MAPA, to discuss this proposed legislation. MnDOT explains some of the measures that we already produce and that we prefer to allow the Pavement Investment Evaluator software to be rolled out this year and share the results with industry. MnDOT expressed concerns about creating new requirements to be analyzed before the current software is completed, implemented, and evaluated. We are concerned that adding more requirements will delay the implementation of the Pavement Investment Evaluator program already underway. At our meeting with industry, MnDOT and the industry agreed that the best course of immediate action is to allow the Pavement Investment Evaluator software to be completed, discuss progress and implementation, and have ongoing collaboration meetings at an executive level twice a year. MnDOT is committed to this agreement with industry. Specific concerns with the House File 4468 bill. Determining funding needed each year over a 50-year analysis period. That will be challenging in the latter years of the 50-year period. Performing a life cycle analysis over 50 years may be more reasonable. There are several work groups focusing on minimizing environmental impacts already, so we would prefer to let those groups develop recommendations prior to enacting requirements for our pavement management guide. We prefer the ongoing meetings with paving industry in lieu of additional legislation at this time. Give us the opportunity to work collaboratively with industry on these issues. And some of the reporting requirements that in the bill are duplicative of performance analysis we already track and report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Beer. Are there any questions? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I could to Mr. Beers. So what I gather from that, the department is not 100% for this bill? Is not 100% for this bill?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. And then the question just in general, is there anybody, because I know that pavement analysis and so forth has had been kind of controversial over the years, and not necessarily for you, but for Representative Cagle. Is there anybody right now in opposition to the way that you put together? Because it sounds like you're starting to get close to agreement, except for maybe the department, but.
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, this was agreed upon language with asphalt, and I went a little rogue on it. So this is what I would like to see measured and what I would like to also see MnDOT start thinking about. But I haven't had anybody come to me in strong opposition, no.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Mr. Beers, you mentioned some software. Can you talk a little bit more about what exactly that software is measuring?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative. The software we're working on won't necessarily measure, but it'll perform analysis of various pavement strategies. We have limited funding every year and a mix of long-term, short-term fixes to help meet the needs of our system. We do measure the performance of our pavements, evaluate that, and we have minimum goals that we want to meet. So by optimizing the fixes over the entire range of our pavement strategy or pavement network, that's what we intend to do with this software. So rather than performing some calculations by hand, this will allow a more easy optimization to run those what-if scenarios where our districts can look at what do they feel is the best option for the funding that they're giving and the conditions of the roadways that they need to improve.
Thank you. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like your bill. I think it's a good idea. I talked to a person that worked with MnDOT for 10 years, and he's in the private industry for 10 years, and he had done some work with Wright County, and he said that, if we take off 1 inch of Class 5 and we add 1 inch of concrete, he said, I can double the life of your road, and it'll cost us 1%. When we're looking at whether or not we need the environmental concurrences, or we're looking at trying to make sure that we have roads for people, that makes really good sense to me. And the cost of prepping that road, every time we come back to rebuild it, if I can get a road that has double the life, that's really good for Minnesota taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I like this whole idea. I think it's the right way to go, but we need, definitely need to make sure that we're building long-term roads where we need them. And so I have brothers that are in construction, and they said, we wreck a road every time we put one in. And with this, we're going to build roads that are going to be built for those vehicles. And so I think it's really important. The other item is a product called Autoseal. There's a state highway that's looking at replacing their 20-year-old or 15-year-old Autoseal, and they're going to put it back to Autoseal. But looking at other options for certain kinds of roads makes really good sense to me. So I just wanted to make those two comments. So,
thank you, Representative Murphy. Anyone else? Concluding comments from the author. Again, this bill is amended is being laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm just really, I'm kind of thinking a little bit more about ROIs, return on investment versus, what we're spending right now. And so the more the higher we can get our return on investment, the more we're going to be saving taxpayers. And so I just thank you for hearing this bill, and I will renew my motion to lay over House File 4468.
With that, House File 4468 is laid over as amended. Next on our agenda, you can stay there, Representative Cagle. Community Roadside Landscaping Partnerships Funding. That's House File 4295. And the motion there is also to lay the bill over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move that House File 4295 be laid over for possible inclusion. What this bill does is, I went up to the North Shore this weekend to visit some family and friends, and there's a lot of signs along the roads, and especially ones with a guy going like this. So I'd much rather see flowers and trees and stuff like that. And so what this bill does is just kind of it funds some appropriation so that we can start to beautify our highways and make sure that we're doing it in state in trunk highway right-of-ways.
Okay. And I think I've also heard reports throughout the state of a lot of trees being cut, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a statewide issue, but certainly in that corridor, I've heard it as well. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But trees along roads also create a hazard, too. So, I mean, we have to kind of take that into consideration. And the fact that we're using $1 million out of truck highway funds after the chair spent a lot of time last year increasing fees to get more into the truck highway fund should be a concern as well. We are sometimes always struggling with trying to determine what is a trunk highway purpose. And we had a committee a few years ago trying to come up with that answer. We couldn't come up with one because everybody had different views. And so my only concern is that we're diverting, again, monies that should be going for road development and that sort of stuff and putting it into trees in which cities and counties along the way can do that themselves if they wish. And I believe we already have a process in place for doing some of that during reconstruction of a road, et cetera. I know Highway 14 along the way had lots of shrubbery put in place during that time as well. So I know there's money in the budget for it already. To expand this may not be the opportune time for us to do that, understanding that it's going to take another $1 million away from trunk highway funds. But that's my opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Petersburg, did you have a response or comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm just kind of thinking about the time I spent driving around on the East Coast, and they have trees right up to the sides of their highways, and it's beautiful drives around there. And so, I think that other states do this, and I'd be interested to see what their kind of safety concerns are or if they have seen an uptick. But it seems like they've always had vegetation up to the roads because it's very mature and pretty.
If I could just follow up, here in Minnesota, we have, out in greater Minnesota at least, we have a deer that cross. We also have wind and storm damage that has to be cleaned up by the department, et cetera. So it's ongoing cost as well as the issue of trying to keep it safe for people driving 70, 75 miles an hour down the road, and a deer comes out anytime we can get more opportunity to see them is a better chance to avoid them. So those are the areas that I'm talking about there. And different areas and different regions have developed those trees over the years, and it's just a concern that I have. Thank you.
Any response, Representative Cagle?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We just got to make sure to put more of those deer crossing signs out and make sure they're obeying the law.
All right. Any further discussion? Anyone from the audience interested in testifying on this bill? Mr. Bagnoli? No? Okay. All right. With that, House File 4295 is laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Vice Chair Tabke is not here yet. I know he was on his way. Is Representative Burkle here?
He was at another meeting. He had another bill as well.
Yeah, I thought this would take a little longer than it did. So if we, we could have a presentation from, we could do, I know MnDOT is here, and I don't know if the other agencies are here who have items in the governor's recs, but we wanted to get those on the table. So why don't we just, if MnDOT is ready, we can move to item number 7. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Josh Kennard-Hubinger. I'm the Chief Finance Officer at MnDOT, here to give a brief overview of both the supplemental and capital budgets, including the governor's recommendations for MnDOT. I believe you all have handouts of the materials that are in the source materials from MMB. I was just planning to walk through those very quickly and then happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. So I will start with the supplemental budget. So in the handout, the header says supplemental budget recommendations by agency. We MnDOT have 3 requests included in the governor's budget. First up are some technical amendments related to trunk highway bonds from the 2023 legislative session that was included in our appropriations bill. 4 of those trunk highway bond projects for named projects were pointed to local entities, and that is not legally allowable under the Constitution. So the amendments would just change that reference to have those bonds go to MnDOT so they can be spent on those 4 named projects. It's a total of about $145 million, again, for 4 specific projects. There's also some language issues with the trunk highway bonds for MnDOT buildings. We received an appropriation of $87 million, but it lacked the required specificity, so there's some tweaks there to point to a new set of program language for how we select facilities to use those trunk highway bonds. Again, things like MnDOT truck stations. It would just set up a program to be more of an asset preservation type program. Second, we have some permissive authority to collect passenger rail revenues. So in the short term, this is related to the second train Chicago, the TCMCU route that should be opening in the next couple months. This just gives us explicit statutory authority to collect those passenger rail revenues and then dictates how we can spend them. So it does show some dollar amounts. Those are just rough estimates of how much money could come through that account. And then again, gives us permission to spend those on operating and maintenance type requests. Third request we have is, again, permissive, allowing us to pursue a tribal worksite training program on state-funded construction projects. We did do 1 pilot on a project on Trunk Highway 65, found that it cost about 0.1% of the total project, so pretty minimal costs. We would anticipate if this program went into effect, it'd be about 10 to 12 projects a year, would involve about 24 or so trainees from tribal nations across the state. Just a great opportunity to bring them in, mentor and learn how to work on construction projects. So again, mostly permissive. There's not a cost with that one either. Those are the 3 supplemental budget requests. Happy to answer questions now, or do you want me to go over to capital?
Representative Petersburg, did you have a question on those?
I just want to be clear. It looks like from this sheet, that the supplemental budget request for transportation from the governor was zero. Is that correct?
In terms of net impacts, yes, it's zero.
Okay, which is different than the budget targets that we have currently in the House. Is that different, or is there other things coming forth in your report?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, that's it.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Then you can proceed to the finance items.
Perfect. So I will quickly go through the capital budget requests. These are unchanged for the March revised version from the original governor's recommendations that came out in January. So again, I'll go through these very quickly. We have six specific requests for MnDOT. First up is high priority bridges. This is funded with trunk highway cash. That'll be a recurring theme for these requests. So it's $40 million for high priority bridges. We are currently not meeting our performance targets for pavement condition on our bridges on the NHS system. This would just be some additional resources for those high priority bridges. Second request is a $4.8 million appropriation from the Trunk Highway Fund, again, trunk highway cash, to stand up a new drainage asset management program. This would provide some dedicated funds to both inventory and then improve our drainage asset management system. So things like culverts, just our drainage systems need a lot of work, and without dedicated resources, like you heard from the previous bill, our limited resources at times don't allow us to focus on some of these critical issues that sometimes don't rise to the level of, say, pavement or bridge. Third request is some general obligation bonding. So this is the first request that has bonds tied to it. It's $2 million for grade crossing warning devices. This is a standard programmatic request that MnDOT makes. We received a little under $4 million last year. Each grade crossing costs about $400,000, so you're looking at four to five grade crossings from $2 million of GO bonds. We have $7.75 million for truck parking safety at two specific rest areas in and around St. Cloud. That, again, is funded with trunk highway cash. I think everyone is well aware there are quite a few issues with limited capacity for truck parking, so this would expand at two rest areas truck parking availability. We have $3 million of general obligation bonds, again, for ports. There's quite a bit of money dedicated to this program last year, about $18 million. The needs exceeded that $18 million. This $3 million would help close that gap. And finally, again, trunk highway cash totaling $20 million for additional facilities. This one is right now targeted towards an expansion of our mechanics facility at St. Cloud headquarters for some additional space needed for snow plows and things like that. So grand total, six requests, just under $73 million coming from the Trunk Highway Fund cash from existing Trunk Highway Fund balance. For context, after the February forecast, there's about $160 million of available fund balance, so that $73 million would reduce that $160 million accordingly. And then there's $5 million for two requests funded from general obligation bonds, which goes against that MMB set limit of $980 million. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Okay. And is this the entirety? I mean, I didn't see any other agencies here. So is this the entirety of the governor's transportation supplement?
No. So this is just the MnDOT portion. So okay. There would be components for Met Council and DPS as well.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. That's great. We appreciate that. We will proceed if there's any other questions or anyone from the audience that wishes to comment. Okay. Why don't we move to Representative Burkle's bill, and then we'll move to Representative Tappy. House File 4127 And welcome back to the committee. I think we had you once before. I don't remember the issue, but we had, maybe it was the Carlstadt Airport. I don't remember. Welcome back. And we are going to hear House File 4127 and lay it over for possible inclusion. This is a technical fix, members, to actually a transportation bill from 2021. Related to the airport in Carlstadt, which I believe is in your district.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Just to refresh everyone, because this is old news from 2021, actually special session of 2021. Carlstadt's airport was built in the 50s, a grass strip about 2,500 feet long, and gets soggy in the summers. It's wet ground. And it doesn't really support the local businesses in town or the firefighting capabilities or EMS in that area. So the idea is to go to a 4,000-foot runway with the ability to expand it further down the road. If you go to, and we're just looking at the fix, correct, Mr. Chair? We're not looking at
the
whole, yeah. So on page, two, top of the page. This is just from the 2021 special session. What MMB wanted was to see a little more detail as to the phases of the project phasing. So you see top of page two of phase one of the project, which included land acquisition and some wetlands mitigation and such. The rest of the bill is in capital investment. And like the chair said, we're not going through that now, but the main meat of the bill we're hearing today, or the fix we're hearing today, is on 2.2, just delineating that the money appropriated in 21 was for phase one of the project.
So again, this is a technical fix. We're not appropriating any additional money. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, and for clarity for those that may not know why we needed to do this, MMB is abound by a statute that they can't put money out, even if it's appropriated for bonds, when something isn't complete. And without this language, the project would not be complete. And so this verifies that it is phase one. And so phase one, which could be completed with this dollar, is what is needed in order to correct the problem. And I think that's the essence of this bill. The intent was that it was going to be the first part of doing this project, but it wasn't written that way, and so this is a correction of that so that the MMB could stay following its rules and guidelines.
Thank you for that. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I'm reading through the bill here on page five, there's a similar addition there that says phase two of the project. Is that also part of the correction that's in this? And I guess I don't know if the representative knows that, or if it, that if the staff would have to answer that.
I can answer that.
Representative Merkel.
Yeah, that is part of the fix too. That was actually heard in Ways and Means yesterday. That part of the fix was actually part of the bonding bill last year, the $3.9 million, which also needed some more clarification on phase two, and that's where you're seeing that fix in that part of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, and Representative Nelson, that's a good question. So there was a bonding fix that needed to happen, and then there's also a transportation related one. So we're doing the transportation one, and as Representative Burkle said, we did the bonding one yesterday in Ways and Means. Okay. Any final comments?
No, nothing further, Mr. Chair. Thank you for I know I kind of was lost yesterday when we were talking about this. I didn't realize that was in transportation. So
yeah.
Thank you for humoring me yesterday.
Thanks. We had very good staff work on that. So with that, the bill is House File 4127 is laid over. Representative Tapke. Welcome, Vice Chair Tapke. Do you have a motion for House File 4374.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, House File, I recommend that we make a motion that we lay over House File 4374 for future consideration.
Okay. Bill is before the committee. Tell us about rumble strips.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And so House File 4374 comes from a constituent who was here to testify on the bill after the tragic death at a four-way stop in greater Minnesota. And so what this is requiring, we met this summer and talked about different ways where we can improve safety in ways that, Mr. Croy has done just a ton of work around this. And we identified different ways where we can improve safety throughout the state. And one thing for this year on a non-budget year that we put together was adding rumble strips at on state highways. And so we're not requiring any counties or locals at this point to require rumble strips, but this would make sure that we're adding safety at stops throughout the state on state highways by adding rumble strips. And so, Mr. Chair, I have Todd Croy here to testify and tell a story.
Okay, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Todd Croy. Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for having me today. I'm here in support of this bill, not just as a bereaved parent, but as an advocate for a cause that is deeply personal and paramount importance. On August 28th, 2022, tragedy struck my family when my sons were involved in a car accident at the intersection of County Roads 1 and 4 in Renville County. They were traveling westbound on County Road 4 due to a detour, and on an unfamiliar road, they led to a fatal oversight. They missed the stop sign at the intersection and were struck by a vehicle traveling southbound on County Road 1. As a result of his injuries, my oldest son, Caden Huntley, passed away on August 29, 2022. Caden was a remarkable young man of 19, a triplet along with his brother and sister. He was athletic, beloved by his friends and family, brimming with life and dreams, and had aspirations to serve his community as a police officer. Unfortunately, his promising future was abruptly cut short at an intersection that lacked a critical safety measure, rumble strips, a proven deterrent to the kind of accident that claimed his bright future. The intersection where Caden's accident occurred has been the site of multiple fatalities over the years. In fact, Caden's death marked the fifth fatality at that intersection over a span of 9 years, serving as a stark example of what can happen when essential safety measures are neglected, even after continued accidents occur. While Renville County had overlooked the dangerous nature of this intersection prior to August 28, 2022, rumble strips were finally installed at that intersection 8 days after Caden's accident. 8 days too late for him. My family, or the many others who have lost their lives or suffered injuries there. The eventual addition of these strips is a testament to their necessity. Rumble strips are more than just a physical feature on our roads. They are a lifeline, a last line of defense for drivers who may be distracted or unfamiliar with the road they travel. They provide an audible and tactical warning that commands attention and action, reducing the likelihood of collisions at high-speed intersections. They can play a crucial role in alerting drivers to upcoming signage. And as drivers approach intersections, the rumbling sensation serves as a reminder to stay vigilant, especially in situations where traffic patterns may be unknown. This added layer of awareness can help prevent confusion and ensure that drivers are prepared to react appropriately to changing road conditions. Rumble strips serve as an essential tool in our road safety arsenal, especially critical in rural areas where roads stretch long and straight, lulling drivers into a false sense of security. For visitors and residents alike, these strips can be the difference between a safe journey and a fatal error. They are low-cost, high-impact solution that has been proven to significantly reduce accidents. As you consider this legislation, please remember that it represents more than just the installation of rumble strips. It embodies a commitment to the safeguarding the lives of all who travel Minnesota's roads. By mandating the implementation of rumble strips at high-speed intersections, we have the opportunity to help prevent future tragedies and work to ensure that no other family endures the pain of losing a loved one in such a preventable manner. I urge you to support this bill to honor Caden's memory and the memory of those that we've lost, to protect the lives of all who travel on our roads. And thank you for your time, and open to any questions you may have.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, and we're so sorry for your tragic loss, and we hope that legislation like this can prevent this from happening again. So again, thank you for sharing this very, very difficult story.
Thank you.
Members, questions? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So according to the fiscal note, it looks like there's anticipated about half of the situations that we cover there do not have rumble strips. But I'm just curious as to, and it also says it's going to take about $1.5 million. I think the bill gives 10 years for it to be accomplished. Do we have any history about why they weren't put in to begin with? Does the department know, how many? Was it a timing issue since, say, 1980 they've been put in, and why they weren't prior to this? Because I do know that I have a road that I travel on fairly regularly, and you come up over the hill, and there's a stop sign right there. It's a rumble strips. Help people kind of be aware of that. And it's also west-facing, so sun can get in your eyes, making it difficult to see some signs, too. So this is a helpful warning strip. But I'm just curious as to know, will it take that long? What kind of thought processes will they be going through on determining how they prioritize, which ones they do, et cetera? Is anybody from the department here to talk about this? I don't want to spend a lot of time at it. Just
yeah, Mr. Rudine is here.
And Mr. Chair, while Mr. Rudine is coming up, I can also say that we, working with MnDOT to get this language figured out before this was drafted, we worked on making sure that it was at this point constrained to state roads and places where it needs, and we put the long timeline on it so that as roads are scheduled to be for reconstruction or overlays or whatever's happening, that this will be able to be incorporated into those at the same time.
Yeah, that's fine, but if Mr. Rudine would have more comment, that's fine.
Mr. Rudine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Rudine with MnDOT Government Affairs, and to the question about why aren't they currently at every location, I think we look at the crash history, and if there is a history of crashes in a particular location, then that would be a spot where we would look to install rumble strips, or as you noted, if there's a sight line issue, so that people get that advance warning. There are situations where you might have residents nearby, and there have been, whether it's a stop line rumble strip or a center line or edge line rumble strip, where we have installed them, and then we start to get complaints from the nearby residents because they're hearing that noise, all night as they're trying to sleep, for example. So we have to try to balance some of those things as well. But I do want to thank Representative Tapke for working with us on the language so that we have some time to implement these as we have projects out in the field, because that will help reduce the cost as well.
Mr. Chair, just one follow-up.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And according to the fiscal note, it looks like most of this is going to be a one-time upfront cost, although it does indicate that there will be some intermediate work on maybe 25% of them. Do we know what kind of cost that is, or has that been built into the State Department's budget?
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, if it's part of a construction project, there would be, some small incremental cost. I don't know that we've really tracked that. It would just be part of the overall project bid as a contractor puts it in, and I would expect, if they're already going to be out there doing work anyway, that it would be a pretty small cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions, Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have to add, too, I do a lot of rural driving for many, many years, and you can lose your focus, out there. And those, when you get into the country, like in Renville County or where I drove in northwest Minnesota, there's a lot of times when you just don't see those things coming up. So they definitely are helpful. Have we ever looked at the use of rumble strips in crossings where we're not stopping? There's a lot of talk about J-turns and the inconvenience, especially rural Minnesota, with using J-turns, because semis, a lot of times our grain trucks will happen to get navigate those. Have you ever thought about using rumble strips on the, like, Highway 10 instead of using J-turns, just to alert people that the intersection is coming up? Because like lane transfers, that would be really helpful. And maybe we could do it instead of the expensive looking at J-turns that are really not that popular in the country.
Mr. Dean.
Mr. Chair, I will have to check on that. I'm not aware that we've done that. But, you know, there might be some research from another state or something where they've tried that. So I can check on that and get back to you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the drive in this morning woke me up with traffic. But anyway, on the question I had, and I think I heard Representative Tacky say this is only on state roads. So the your testifier testified they were, his was on a county road or two county roads. So this won't help in some of those rural areas where they might be needed if we're only doing it on state-owned roads.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, yeah, you are correct that this is not requiring county roads to do that at this point. So this is a first step. And so that my full intent is to continue this process as we go forward into the future. And so right now, again, knowing it's not a budget year and there's not money that we could allocate to counties for doing this really well this year, this is something that we want to look forward to and make sure that as we get into budget years that we are working on this into the future.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Representative, sometimes he is. Mr. Redeen.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Put your hand up. Representative Tapke.
Right, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members, for hearing this bill. I just want to, again, communicate my deepest sympathies to Todd and his entire family and thank him for coming here today to share the story and talk about why this is really, really important as we move forward, and for his tenacity and work on getting something done here. So we'll continue to work on this together and hopefully come to conclusions that will save lives. So I appreciate everyone's time.
Okay. Any other questions, members? Okay. We will not be meeting on Thursday.
Mr. Chair, we still need the motion to lay it over.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Getting ahead of myself here. With that, House File 4374 is laid over for possible inclusion. Now, we have scheduling issues that we wanted to go over with you. Mr. Bauman, do you have all of the calendar information here? We didn't have that on my sheet, so. April 4th, 16th, and 18th are our three remaining hearings. And we will be publishing those agendas as needed. So, Representative Petersburg.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're losing at least three meetings because of various recesses going on.
Right.
So I think, you know, whatever we can do to help, we will do what we can, because I think you have a...
We'll have probably several bills and an informational hearing as well. During that time. So there we go. With that, we are adjourned.